Welcome to Season 4 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Breakaway Breakdown. As you may have noticed, we have a new host over on the calf roping side of The Breakdown, Miss Hannah Wheeler, who heads up our calfroping.com efforts. She's in charge of all of the rank video content and articles you see over there on calfroping.com. And we finally turned over the reins to the podcast to her as well. So super excited to have Hannah on the team. If you are not familiar with her, be sure to go listen to the introduction episode with Miss Hannah. But you tuned in to the Breakaway Breakdown. So today we are going to be talking about all things breakaway. So exciting weekend of rodeo this past weekend and heading into Cowboy Christmas. But we'll talk about Cowboy Christmas a little more during the episode. For now, I'm going to tell you about Nampa, Silver State, Fallon, and all the top earners of the week. I chat with Miss Maddie Jacobs, formerly Dearman, in this episode, and Cheyenne McCartney, who won the Snake River Stampede there in Nampa. So, give you a little rundown. Our top earner of the week was Maddie. She earned over $13,000 in Elko, Nampa, and Fallon. Our number two earner of the week was Braylee Shepherd with over $11,000 won. She won those at Elko, Nampa, and Fallon as well. And then rounding out our top three was Cheyenne McCartney with $8,200 won at the Snake River Stampede and Elko. Now, we have been doing our best to keep active results trackers on the website every weekend with rodeo results. So if you are looking for a little weekend update, see how everyone's doing, head on over to breakawayropingjournal.com. And then at the end of the weekend, we usually do a little roundup with who won the most money, which is always super fun. I'm going to run through the top 20 on the WPRA World Standings real quick, and then we will jump into the episode. We start at number one, Taylor Munsell, then Josie Connor, Aspen Miller, Kinley Bernice, Maddie Dearman, Jacobs, Joey Williams, Bo Peterson, Summer Williams, who had a fantastic week 2 weekends ago, Riley George. Riley, congratulations on the CNFR title. Brady Good, Cheyenne McCartney, Jenna Dallin, Shelby Beaujolais-Medjid, Suzanne Williams, Miss Braylee Shepherd is in number 15th, and we go to Tiata Gray, Macy Young, Brooke Ladner, Martha Angeloni, and at number 20 is our reigning world champion, Miss Kelsey Domer. So we have a stacked top 20. Honestly, let's be real, stacked like top 40 plus, but it's a knife fight out there, and I'm just really excited to be able to tell you guys about it. Before we jump in, I need to give a little shout out to roping.com. They are supporting today's episode, and we have a brand new series with Miss Taylor Munsell and Kelsey Domer rolling out now, so you guys be sure to go check that out. But for now, it's time to rope. Let's go. You have had a busy last few days. Let's kind of run through where you've been and where you've picked up those checks.
Yeah, so I started my week on Sunday in Nampa at the Slack, and I was actually the last one out in Slack. And Nampa was different this year because, number one, it was a little earlier in the summer and it was a lot easier for a lot of us to get to. And then, number two, last year during Nampa in July, Whopper was sick. And I actually got to have Whopper out with me, so I was excited to have him in that setup. But I was last out in the Slack and knew my calf. I was a 1-7 on him and split win. And then I drew up the very last perf on Saturday back in Nampa. And so we had some time in between. I'm in with Taylor Munsell and Braylee Shepherd. And we went to Fallon together, and I was a 2-8 there in Fallon and placed with that. And the 3C Arena put on a great jackpot for us to go to Nevada's Richest that had 10,000 added. And I had Bebop with me for that trip and rode Bebop with the jackpot, got to have some good runs and placed in the average there. And then we went to Elko, and the calves at Elko were pretty fresh. They had one run on them. And these Elko calves will also go to several rodeos after, so it's kind of an important set of calves for us. They'll go on to Cody that I know of. And so I was one of the first runs on the calves, and they were pretty fresh. And so I saw mine probably about ear out, and he jumped coming out of the chute and just waited long enough for me to rope him. And I was a 1-8 there in Elko at the Silver State Stampede, which ended up winning it. And I was so excited to win the
That,
pair of Garcia's furs.
yes, and that paid a lot. Elko did.
Yes. Yeah. And Elko was, this was the first year they had breakaway. So what an outstanding rodeo to have on your June list. Yep. And then after Elko, we went back to Nampa, and my second calf at Nampa was real good. At that point, some of them were letting off, and some of them were still pretty strong. And mine stayed strong, and luckily, I took a strong start at him and was on the berry, and I was a 2-1, which placed in one of the last holes of round two. And then short go Saturday night. I knew my calf was a pretty good calf, but it hadn't run since Sunday. And so I wasn't real sure if he was going to let off or stay strong for me. And I just saw too much of a start on him. He stayed pretty strong, and I was pretty late. And I just went and got him down and was a 3-1 to place in the average. But I was just really thankful because before this last week, I was honestly scoring terrible, like running through the barrier worse than I ever had in my life. And so that was a focus for me coming into this week, was to just score. And I was also happy to be consistent, just catching as well.
Yeah, it's like when you want it so bad and you start trying to hit the barrier, sometimes you get into this rhythm that's just not right.
Yeah, you can either look at it of a standpoint of I'm going to be right on the barrier every single time and, win the rodeo, but then again, that increases your chances of breaking the barrier. And so
Yes.
I mean, depending on what the setup is, which is kind of the lesson that I learned, I went out pretty early. I left at Window Rock, which was the end of May, and a lot of those rodeos were circuit rodeos, and not a whole lot of the top 15 were out yet. And so I should have scored and stayed off the barrier in place rather than trying to win every single rodeo,
Okay, but now you've been hitting the barrier and scoring a little bit smarter, which I mean, you were trying to do all along, but you were really aggressive initially.
Just I guess getting better goes and using my head a little bit more pays off.
Yeah, well, this is your third year pro rodeoing pretty hard.
Second year of rodeoing hard. My very first year I was still doing school and just went to a few rodeos, and so
Okay.
that's also another advantage. Like last year was my first full year on the road, and so now I have a better idea of which rodeos I want to enter and which I want to avoid and which horses to ride where. And I'm also thankful this year that I kind of learned my lesson to space out my horses a little better. Like I have Whopper with me right now, and my yellow horse is at home with my mom, and Bebop is resting where we stay during the summer at the Webster's house. And so I'm kind of glad I've learned my lessons after my first year on the road, and I feel like I'm a whole lot smarter by it.
'Cause I remember that like really the first time we started talking was when you won the NFR Open, and that was like kind of a crazy year. You just did a handful of rodeos, and then last year was your first big year hauling, and then you decided to forego the full-time job and keep rodeoing with us.
Yeah, that's right. This is I'm actually a professional rodeo cowgirl, and I have
Yeah.
nothing else on my mind this year besides rodeoing, and so I guess that's another aspect I can put more thought into it rather than, doing school in between rodeos or whatever.
Well, that's totally different. I've had some experiences where it's almost like it's easier when it's all for fun and it's all, oh, let's see what happens. Let's just go for it. There's no pressure. And then, like you said, there's this, I'm a professional rodeo cowgirl now, and this is how you're going to make your living, and things change a little bit.
I guess I kind of struggled with that mentality more so when I wasn't rodeoing, because it felt like, in just the day-to-day when I wasn't going to rodeos, I was just roping and practicing, and I felt like I needed to be doing something more for myself. Especially because I usually had been doing school or grading papers or something like that in the past. But yeah, I really don't struggle with the pressure now, like competing that this is my job, I'm a pro, I need to earn money. Like, this is still just really fun for me, and I'm thankful to be out here doing this, you know?
I love it. And I hauling with a fantastic group. Taylor had a great spring, and then Braylee had a really nice week this last week.
Yeah, Braylee roped outstanding this week, and a lot of the, I think almost all of the rodeos she hit at in the past couple of weeks were her circuit, so she's sitting outstanding right now.
Yes, I'm about to go through and do a little circuit wrap up, so I'll get my finger back on the pulse of all those. But is she has her sorrel mare. Does she have any other horses?
She has promised the sorrel mare with us right now. She's gonna ride her at Reno tomorrow, and then also at Prineville, and then the rig, it kind of depends on how we do. Hopefully it will go back to Reno because we all make the short round. And then my yellow horse is going to Greeley to get in Taylor's trailer, and Taylor will have Colonel there, and Braylee will have probably a gray mare there. She's still deciding between her gray mare and her yellow stud. And so we're just kind of splitting up our horses and trying to get as many of the good rodeos at the end of this month as we can.
We were talking during our Monday morning meeting, and we were like, wait a minute, Cowboy Christmas is next week. We were like, wait, we're
Yeah,
not. So
you're telling me. And then Selena Century's open today, and we're like, what the heck? How has that much time gone by already?
I know, I can't believe it's June. Okay, so talk me through what's next. You said you guys are heading to Reno, and we're going to just speak that you guys are going to also be going back to Reno. Kind of talk me through these next this next week or so.
Yeah, Reno's tomorrow, and we've been watching it on Cowboy Channel, and the calves look pretty strong, and so we're actually able to practice today. We're gonna free our horses up and get them ready for a stronger pen of calves. And from Reno, we'll drive to Prineville, roping the lane set up with the bigger calves, and then we'll fly down to Greeley and get our other set of horses, and either go Greeley Pecos, drive to Pecos, or we'll do Greeley and fly back to Reno for the short go, which is what we're aiming for. And after that, we'll kind of go to Prescott and meet up at Oakley and get in our separate rigs. And Taylor gets in with Kelsey because they're both the first set at Calgary. And then I'll actually be alone. My mom's going to help me drive a little bit because I'm in the second set of Calgary, and I'll get to hit quite a few of the 4th of July rodeos before then. But yeah, just hoping to keep scoring smart and keep catching and see what happens. Maybe keep the momentum going.
Now at Prineville, is that run in kind of roll and start with the long shoot? Is that a trickier score or is it an easier score? I mean, that's probably a loaded question, but
Prineville is actually a lane setup, and so you'll have two lanes, well, three lanes, but in the breakaway, you only have to use those two. And they rope big old calves at Prineville. Usually they get yearlings up and then just rope them once and then turn them back out. And so someone will be on horse pushing the yearling out of the middle lane, and then you'll be following them down the calf roping lane. And that's honestly kind of a tricky setup to me because lanes are very, very new to me. And usually you just pick a point on that middle lane that the calf gets to and follow them out. And then you also want to make sure that you get a chance to run your horse through the barrier, like during when people are warming up for the slack or whatever, because horses will see the barrier as kind of like a standalone. They usually don't run through a barrier in the middle of an arena like that. So, yeah, that's a fun one, but it's also tricky. You got to keep a close eye on where the calf is and kind of read him, like if he's running real hard or if he's, just loping.
And which horse are you going to have at that setup?
Whopper.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure he or yellow would be really good for that.
Yeah, I had Whopper there at Prineville last year, and he actually didn't really like it. So we're gonna put a bid on him there because last year when I was holding him in the corner as the guy was running by me on a horse, he kind of freaked out. So we're gonna put some stouter on him, and hopefully he'll sit in the box a little better.
Okay, yeah, because you usually do the hack on him, so
Yeah.
okay. Fun. Well, I'm sure, like I said, it's a great rig to be in, and sounds like you guys have a good plan with it. I was gonna ask, because you were rattling off rodeos and then you throw in Pecos. Is Pecos kind of a weird, like, little side quest to like come back down to Texas and go to this random spot?
Yeah, it's definitely hard to get to, and this is the first year I'll be going to it, like after, being up north and rodeoing. But number one, if you're at Texas Circuit, it's kind of hard for you to miss that one because it's, such a big player in the end of the year standings. And then number two, Pecos is all around a great rodeo, and they added more money this year than they have in the past. So that made it hard for us to miss, but definitely
Right.
worth going to.
I think that's about it for me. It's really hard to keep everything straight, but it's fun to hear about the plans, and I feel like, maybe if I listened to you guys all day, I would really get everyone's circles in my mind, but it's fun to hear about them.
I definitely have to keep a planner with me because I don't remember it myself in my head. I've got to look at it in writing, and it's also kind of cool to see how everyone else plans out their routes in their 4th of July.
For sure. And oh, well, this is a short setup. These are fresh calves. These are yearlings. These are, just always changing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, congratulations on your big weekend. I'm sure it's a sigh of relief. I have you moving up like 5 places in the world standings, which is super exciting.
It was a much needed week. Now that I'm rodeoing full time, I decided to, kind of upgrade my trailer, and I have a trailer payment I need to be making, and that's very welcome for that.
Yes. Okay, well, I appreciate your time, and I'm gonna give Cheyenne a call.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for talking to me.
Yep, catch you later. Hey guys, I just need to take a quick break from today's episode to tell you a little bit about roping.com. Get unlimited access to roping.com's comprehensive tie-down, breakaway, and team roping video library and learn from world champions Caleb Schmidt and Shad Mayfield, as well as top trainers Logan Harkey and Justin Mass. Rope with legendary breakaway ropers like Larry DeGuy, Hope Thompson, and 2024 NFBR world champion Kelsey Domer. Plus, binge hundreds of hours of live and archived ropings, including the Cinch Timed Event Championship, the Patriot events, and more. Now, let's jump back into the episode. Well, hello, Cheyenne. I'm glad I finally caught you wandering around Reno today.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I feel like I'm juggling all the things with Team Roping Journal, Breakaway Journal, just trying to keep it all in the air right now, which I'm sure you guys feel similarly just out there on the rodeo road.
That's right. I'm currently in Reno trying not to move because I'm gonna lose service if I do, so.
Yeah, I bet that just makes everyday life a little interesting when you don't have
Yeah.
service and then you do and then you don't.
I didn't plug my Starlink in, so this is honestly my fault, but hopefully it stays hooked.
Yeah. Is everybody pretty big Starlink user out there?
I see quite a few Starlink satellites. I got one earlier this winter, and it is a game changer if you remember to plug it in.
Okay. Talked to Miss Maddie. She had the kind of the high money of the weekend, but you came away with the win in Nampa, which was really fun. What's your history been at that rodeo previously?
Oh man, I had a really horrible day at Nampa last year. The horse that I was riding was lame, and I ended up borrowing Madison Uthier's rooster, and I didn't have any luck. He did amazing, but it was a pretty rough day there for me last year. The horse ended up being fine. He ended up having an abscess, but I was really, it was a completely from 0 to 100 from last year to this year. This year was an amazing experience at Nampa for me, but that's just rodeo. We go to a lot of the same places, and sometimes it's great, and then sometimes you're ready to wash it and try it again the next year when you get there.
Yeah. Has there ever been a rodeo that you're just like, this is such a bad vibe? Or like maybe you've had multiple years that you're like, this is a bad vibe. I'm not going back.
I think that everybody, once you go to these a couple of times, you kind of have an idea of what rodeos you like and which ones aren't your favorite. And now that we have 80 rodeos to go to, you definitely want to take into account the different setups and what kind of horse you have and where your horse fits best and just where you like to rope. I think that is a huge thing. I think it's going to be really important. And it's already really important this year, but the rest of the year, I think that's going to be really important for me.
Yeah. What's some of your like checklist items when you're looking at rodeos? Obviously the added money, and then it's if it fits into your circles that you're already making.
Yeah, I would say one of the most important thing is the tour rodeos. You got to get to all the tour rodeos. I didn't go to California, so I missed those. And then I usually miss maybe a couple later on in the year because of, like, I go to Dodge after Cheyenne and whatnot, and that's a tour rodeo, I'm pretty sure, and it's also a big circuit rodeo for me. So you're gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss maybe a few tour rodeos, but that's really important. The added money, of course. If you can make it there, hopefully if you can get there, ride your own horse, or if you can fly there and mount out on something that you like to ride or whatnot. But there's definitely a lot that goes into it. But I would say added money, tour rodeo, and the logistics of making it all work would be the three most important things.
Yeah. Having a good community and friends. You said like you met rode Madison's rooster at Nampa, and having people that you can hop on their horses if you need to.
Yeah, last year when I was on Maddie's horse, Jackie was actually riding one of Larry D's horse, the roan horse Trojan that Jackie owns. And she's like, "Where is your horse?" I'm like, "I don't know, something's wrong with him." And they actually let me take that horse for a few weeks, and I ended up coming home in August, but I had him for a few weeks. And so I think as soon as I did good at Nampa, they both texted me, and I thanked them both for helping me last year because it was a pretty rough end of the summer for me last year, and it's taken me a lot of work to get back rolling and doing good at the rodeos. I feel like I had a great fall futurity season, but the rodeos not so much. I was just fighting to get in the top 30. So having those people and those friends that step up, and even if you're not close with them, that just lend a helping hand and are truly there to help you is so important, especially during the low times, because it's not, I'm not ever going to say anything about this is easy, but when you're doing good and you're winning and you have a horse you like and all those things and your horse is sound and happy and fine, it's a lot easier than when you're struggling. So
Yeah.
I think that is a huge part of the rodeo community, and the biggest thing about all of this is to be there when people need you, and it's just really cool.
I didn't know you'd gotten to ride Trojan a little bit last year.
Yeah, I picked him up. I picked him up after maybe Cheyenne or something, and I ran a few calves on him, and I rode him at the Old West Futurity. He did great. I messed up in the short round, but I won Gordon on him. I placed at Ogden on him. I rode him at like maybe four or five places, and then ended up going home in August, so sent him back to Larry D and Jackie. But he was awesome to ride, and I'm really grateful that they let me ride him when I needed something.
So you mentioned that the end of the year last year was a little bit tough. You know, had success in the futurities, but that almost feels like an entirely different world just because of the horses and the scoring. And how do you think you were able to turn things around this year? I mean, we started talking about Nampa, but we can just zoom way out.
Yeah, no, totally. I would say that I have a horse that fits me the best of any horse I've had in a really long time. I think that's the most important thing. I'm back 100% feeling healthy and strong. I think that's another really important part. And I don't know, I just think sometimes you have to, what if what you're doing isn't working with your body or your horses or whatever it is, you just have to change some things. And that was kind of me last year. I decided to come home in August because it wasn't looking like a great shot for how I was feeling, and how it was going for me to make the final. So I wanted to come home and focus on the futurities, and I'm glad I did, because I feel like if I would have stayed out and it maybe wouldn't have went as good for me at the fall futurities. I've won around 40,000 at the Riata Breakaway and around 20 or so thousand at the AQHA World Show and got my first AQHA title. And it was really tough for me not to make the NFR or the Kimes Breakaway, but I feel like I came home and got stronger and ready for the chances that I had to rope for big money. And I rope for a living, so a lot of times you just have to make tough decisions. And in January, Cody told me that he had a horse from New York coming down for me to try, and I kind of looked at him like, okay. And I love this horse. We've had some growing pains and had to kind of get to know each other, and I think there's always going to be that even on a horse that you've had for a long time. And so and my 6-year-old Woody Be Tough Teddy is doing really good that Cody trained. I really wasn't expecting him to be my number two horse, and I'm sure there'll be some growing pains with him. I'm going to ride him at a few places, and he may not be perfect, but I was able to do good at some big ropings on him. So I just think that I think you just have to keep pushing and doing the hard work, even when you're not seeing results then. And fortunately for me, I have a great support system and people that push me and are there for me, even when it's tough, and believe in me. And so I think that makes a really big difference too.
What were some of the health things that you were going through last year? Like, was it shoulder stuff or?
Yeah, I found out after Cheyenne, I went and got my shoulder looked at, and I just had really low range of motion. I have a few minor tears in my shoulder, my labrum. I guess they called it a slap tear, and I mean they're still there, but my range of motion was so low. I mean, I didn't know this at the time, because I guess I never put my hand on my back and tried to see if I could push off of it. But that was one of the things they tested when I went in, and we ended up injecting it. And then after we injected it and I got all my range of motion back, my shoulder was just, it was way too mobile and would almost slip a little bit. Dr. Chance Henderson in Colorado, I went and saw him, and he told me, he said, we're going to inject it and then we're going to do PT, and we're hopefully not going to have surgery. But if that doesn't work, then we're going to have surgery. And so I wanted to give myself a really great chance to get my body back strong and feeling good. And I'm glad I did, because, like I said, it was really tough for me to come home that early in the season last year. I've never left for the summer and not completed the season, but it's just one of those things where my body had to come first. And I'm glad that I did it, and it ended up working out. And it's worked to keep it feeling good, but it feels really good now. So I have a great team, top tier performance in Decatur, Jim Bowie and his crew work on me, and when I'm at home, and send me workouts and help me to stay on top of it and just keep everything where it's supposed to be.
Nice. Yeah, it's like once you get it going good, you can keep it going good. But like you said, once you're going down the wrong track, you kind of have to stop and reset sometimes.
That's right. And I've never really dealt with any kind of injury with my body. And so it was pretty tough not knowing what I was expecting, or not knowing what to expect or what was going to happen. I was really freaked out by surgery. And so I don't know if that's something later on down the road that might have to be done, but I'm fortunate I haven't had to do it yet, if that is the case.
And then you said Lexus came from New York.
You have, my friend Emily up there, she's had her for a while, and Cody knows her and has seen the horse quite a bit, and just happened to ask her if she would maybe consider selling her, and it was her baby. So we were pretty shocked that she did. But yeah, I'm not sure where she got her from before, but she's been in New York for the last several years and going to a bunch of rodeos up there.
How old is she?
She's 11.
What would you say? You said she's fitter, but fit you better than a lot of the horses you've had previously. What does a horse that fits Cheyenne look like or feel like, I guess?
I think a lot of it is feel, a lot of it is their timing. We're still kind of trying to get together completely in the box, and I think that just takes kind of getting to know each other. But I would just say timing. That's not really something that can be explained. I like a quick-footed horse that runs but also rates the calf. I don't want them to overrun the calf or get bumper to bumper to a calf. That's just not really my style. And I don't like a super super free horse, which is kind of a catch 22, because if you have a horse that is tighter and you get to reaching on them, they can start anticipating the stop too much. But she seems to be doing good. I've been trying to just kind of save her for the bigger rodeos and big jackpots and things like that. But I don't know. A lot of it is really a feel. The breakaway is so tough because they have to score good, they have to run, they have to be flat-footed, and they have to kill the rope and break the string off, but they can't do it too soon because then they don't let you get your rope on the calf, and catching is a big part of the game.
It sounds really tough. So you said that she's been getting the call at the bigger ones. Have you been riding Teddy at the other ones?
Yep, I rode him at Spicer Grip and the Windy Ryan. It was pretty tough for me to ride him at the Spicer Grip because I had Lexus with me coming from Guyman, and there's 130 girls entered, adds great money, and I knew it was going to pay really good. But I won it on him, and he worked really good. Cody gets all of the credit for that horse. We had that horse as a three-year-old, and Cody, we sold him just because the Futurities, I mean, there was the World Show and a few things to go to, but it wasn't like the Futurities are now, where, you know, there's six or seven great places to go. And so sold him and ended up getting him back last year at the beginning of the year, and have taken him to the Futurities. And I'm going to ride him at Greeley and just kind of see how it goes there. Cody's rode him at a lot of rodeos, and it doesn't bother him if something is maybe a little greener, that he needs a little help. So I don't know. We'll see. The breakaway is tough. You definitely have to have a horse that knows their job and that you're not messing with the horse too much so you can focus on roping. But I'm feeling confident in him. I don't know that I'll ride him everywhere, but I think that he'll be a good backup horse for me this year as he continues to get more solid.
Well, I was going to say, maybe, you know, if a listener hadn't been totally keyed in, I mean, you made Houston short go with Lexus. Like I said, one Spicer Grip, one Windy Ryan, just some big finishes for you this year, and now you have Lexus, and you're onwards and upwards to the summer.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, you never know. We're pretty early in the summer. I mean, it's just getting started, and I think I've been to 23 rodeos. Reno was maybe my 23rd rodeo, so there's a lot left. We get to count 80 rodeos this year, and so you just have to try to make them count. You know, I think that it's going to be exciting to see what it takes to make the NFR this year, and how everyone strategizes and plans it out. But it's just, it's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, and different girls are claiming different circuits. And I mean, I know you're sticking with Prairie, especially because that's home for you, but it's really interesting to see the different strategies that are going to come out of this.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I left from Woodward to go to Vernal, and then I flew back home for Ponca City because it's one of the better circuit rodeos for me. It has 6,000, and so it's madness. You know, it's kind of you're out here. There's one horse at home. There's one horse out here. I'm fortunate to have a really good traveling partner this summer, and I think we're going to work really well together and just give it our best and see where we end up.
And remind me who you're hauling with. I don't remember.
Timber Allen Brand. She's roped forever.
Okay.
But she has primarily bail raised. She's always had a roping horse on the trailer. But this year, roping is her, breakaway roping is her number one event. And so I was excited when she said she was just going to be a breakaway roper this summer, because we've been friends for a long time since junior high. But we've never gotten a rodeo together because, I mean, it's tough for her to enter the barrels and the breakaway together, let alone have someone that's, I mean, it's not really possible to do it if you're not just breakaway roping the two of you.
Yes. Yeah, that's fun, though, especially when it's somebody that you've known so long and that you're compatible with.
Yeah, it definitely is. It makes the load a little lighter to carry, you know, when you have somebody that is picking you up when you're down and you're doing the same with them, or if you have to fly somewhere or something, you know that your animals are taken really good care of. I think that's a big thing, that, you know, they take care of your stuff just like it's theirs, and they're just a good teammate.
Yeah. Kind of bringing it back to the whole reason I called you initially, Nampa. we were talking about how this year had been so different than last year, and then we got real sidetracked and went down the rabbit hole. But talk me through your runs over there in Nampa.
Yeah, first round I was towards the beginning. Had a first run. The Cavs, they had a list on them from state finals that happened just recently, and there was two different lists, and they both said the calf was really good. He looked really good. I was 1:08. That was my fastest run and probably the best calf I ran. My second round calf Saturday afternoon. I kind of went a little too early. Had to pull. Was a little longer than I wanted to be. I was 2:07, and I was grateful to get the calf caught with a mistake, you know, because a lot of times if you make one mistake in the breakaway, you're completely out. So I was glad to just get a time on the board and make the short round. And so then I was, I think I was fifth or sixth high call. And then my short round calf was the strongest calf I ran. So I just was trying to get a really good start. I was 2:01 on him, and I was in the back and I really couldn't hear very good. I thought there's no way that I was going to win it just with the ropers that were behind me. And Brady Good actually told me that I won it. And I'm like, no way. Because I could see that everyone was catching their calves, but I couldn't hear the times. And so she told me that I won it. And I thought, no way, you're lying. She's like, yeah, you did. And so I really didn't believe it until someone came and got me and told me that I did. But you just never know in the breakaway. Sometimes a 2:1 will get it done. Sometimes, you know, someone can be 1:07, especially in a fast setup. So you really, really never know.
Well, I
What
bet it
about
was
your
a
time?
great little confidence boost, kind of get you more in the mix as far as the top 15 go.
It was there. Anytime you can get a lump sum of money in one place and capitalize and things go your way, it really helps a lot. You know, and there's so many more places we have to go rope, so much more money that we're roping for. And anytime I feel like I was 2:09 at Elko last week, and I had a first run. The Cavs had one run on them, and there was a lot of broken barriers in the first run of Cavs. But there was also a lot of fast times, and I was a little bit off the barrier because I really didn't want to crash the barrier. And I was 2:09. I thought there's no way that that's going to get money, but I won last hole and won 300, and I was almost just as excited about that as anything, just because 2:09 at a 100 doesn't really get money, you know, doesn't usually get much money, but it did. So I just, it's you can strategize all you want, but a lot of times you just have to try to go make the best round you can on a game plan for what your calf you think your calf's going to do, and then just see what happens with the rest of the field.
Totally. It's definitely a lesson in staying the course every single time.
It is. It can be. That's something I've learned. You know, in the past, I feel like I've gotten better at just focusing on making the best run I can, and there's nothing else you can do but besides that. So usually, I feel I'm for the most part getting better about that, just roping. And if it goes good, good. If not, you go to another one.
So talk to me about the next week or so. I can't believe that Cowboy Christmas is already upon us.
Yeah, I can't really tell where it starts and ends, but we roped at Reno this morning. No good for us here. We'll go to today's Tuesday. We'll go to Prineville on Thursday, and then Greeley on Friday, and that'll finish the week for us. And then we'll start all back over next week. Next week I go to Prescott, Cody. I go to Oakley, Calgary, and St. Paul, maybe, and possibly Basin City also.
Okay, yeah, definitely a lot of running around, but it's just going to be you and Timber making all the drives and everything.
Cody's gonna come out next week. He's gonna take my rig to Calgary for me, and I'm gonna fly there. So he'll be out here for a little while to help, and then he'll go back home.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, Calgary's going to be really fun this year.
I know it was really exciting when they said that it was going to be in the big show, and then it was a little stressful too because this is the first year I've had to go to the qualifier for Calgary. So I was very excited. I was very excited to get that done and be able to compete there.
Awesome. Well, wish you the best of luck and congratulations on Nampa, and hopefully we'll be chatting with you again soon.
I hope so. I'm going to work on it. I sure appreciate it, Lily, and thanks for having me on.
Yes, I will catch you later. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out with me as we talked with Miss Maddie Jacobs and Cheyenne McCartney. I feel like Cheyenne and I went on a little bit of a rabbit hole conversation adventure, but that's usually how these types of interviews go. It's just chatting about the rodeo road and things just kind of pop up as they come. So, glad you guys took time to tune in today. A special thanks again to our supporter, roping.com, for sponsoring today's episode. And remember, you can check out a bunch of fantastic breakaway roping coaches over there on roping.com. We have Larry D. Guy, Hope Thompson, Martha Angeloni, Danielle Lohman, Sarah Angeloni. The list continues. So we will catch you guys next week. And until then, stay safe. Talk to you later.